And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser with you on this Monday. Michelle with the next couple of days off. The band will get back together on Wednesday, but hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. I'm back after a few days off, a little vacation, saw some baseball. It was very, very nice. Nick, what's up?
Good morning. Yeah. What game did you go see? The Cardinals versus who?
Dodgers.
Oh, and so you saw Mookie Betts.
Saw Mookie and some guy named Freddie that I used to like.
Oh, yeah. Brave heyday.
You know what's crazy? And, like, I had no idea because, obviously, I'm still not over this. But I Friday night, so I'd never seen anything like this before. There were 9 total home runs in the game Friday night.
How long was the game?
The new rules did not apply. It was kind of like old school baseball. It was over 3 hours, but it was exciting because there was so much hitting. Well, Freddie hit a grand slam, and that was career home run number 300.
So wow!
So there was a little part of me that was like, okay, well, it is kind of cool that I got to witness that. But then I was like, yeah, but I'm still mad at him. So,
well,
I'm not necessarily
mad.
I'm mad
still.
At his agent more than anything, but you know, it is what it is. But, so yeah, fun weekend. Good to be back catching up on things. And I start with our question of the day and, you know, Nick will be kind of playing along today, with Michelle out and, we welcome your calls and your text 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I start with our question of the day. So tomorrow is, you know, OTAs are going to be underway for the Titans and the media get to go. They can go and watch practice and it's kind of like the same rules that you have in the regular season when you go to practice. And so while, you know, there are obviously reporting rules, we generally get a good idea of who had a good day and who had a bad day after it's all said and done. So I ask it this way. Who do we want to be talking about on Wednesday? And I would say that, you know, the quarterbacks, because I don't believe there's a quarterback competition, we'll get to that. It's just what player do you hope we're talking about in a good way on Wednesday? That is our question today. You can call, you can text 615-737-1025. We'll put it up on Twitter as well. But I think that is an interesting way to look at things going into OTAs this week. Now, the reason that if you want to say a quarterback, then that's fine. But, like, for instance, if your answer is Will Levis, I don't think that's good because is that because Will Levis had a really good day or Ryan Tannehill had a bad day, and so we're talking about Will Levis? That, you know, that's the question. Because right now, you know, they've said it, Ryan Tannehill is the starter. I believe Ryan Tannehill is going to stay the starter unless he gets hurt. I don't buy that he's on the way out. I think he is the guy. I've been saying it. He's the guy this year. And that's how it should be. And if that's the case, with the offensive line improved, Derrick Henry, you know, we'll see what Derrick Henry is, but he's obviously back. I think the defense can still be pretty good. You know, in a bad division, this team has a shot. Now, if Tannehill doesn't play well or he gets hurt, then that could certainly change the conversation by a lot. But Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst that joins Caroline Willie and D Mace every week. I always, you know, I was listening to him as I was getting out of town on Thursday, I believe is when he was on. Yeah, Thursday is when he was on this week. And so I was listening as I was headed out of town. And I feel like it's a weekly theme with him that he's got to talk quarterbacks. And that's a part of it. He was a quarterback. That's a polarizing position for the Titans right now. And he was asked about the quote unquote competition that may or may not take place at some point in time. And he believes, like I do, there is no competition.
My seat is a little hot, and I got to throw a second-year guy that hasn't played any NFL football. I got to throw him in as my starting quarterback, even though he is what we consider the future.
So here would be my question, and you know how this works. Mm-hmm. So, like, if it's close, right, because I think that's, like, the key I think that's a key element to this. Hey, if it's close. Well, how do you decide if it's close or not? How do you decipher if it's close or not? What needs to happen? It needs to be a competition, right?
Yeah.
There isn't going to be a competition. Like I'm saying this because I'm just like, I'm trying to just kind of state, you know, for like listeners, like, hey, this is how it works. Like in a team period and there are 12 reps, like the starters are going to get 8 of them. Mm-hmm. So like they're not competing. You know, I mean, like you can say that like they are, but until you say, no, listen, we're taking reps away from the starter because we are giving this guy an opportunity to beat him out. Until you do that, you're not competing.
That was Tim Hasselbeck on Thursday. And I think he's right. There's not a competition. They're not going to, you know, create reps with the ones for Will Levis just to give him reps with the ones. It's going to be Ryan Tannehill. And I think everybody knows that. And but I also feel like, Nick, it's one of those conversations that we keep continuing to have because they traded up in the second round to get Will Levis, and I get that. But to me, this is a conversation that I hope we're not having on Wednesday because I want to see more out of some other players.
Yeah, I think you have a good point. And I think Junie and I kind of talked about that this weekend, was just the fact of the matter of, look, Will Levis is going to be a talented quarterback in this league. But at the end of the day, when you have someone like a Tannehill that's there, then you need to continue to rely on him as long as you can. And I think that's their plan. Like, I think that's quite obvious at this point. But, you know, henceforth, the question of the day that we are posing is, who will we be talking about on Wednesday? You know, I hope it's not Will Levis either, because we've already talked about him so much. And I think maybe the only reason we would be talking about him on Wednesday is if we see him in practice and he's kind of doing what he did I want to say it was 2 weekends ago when he made that lob of a pass to someone, but it just went viral and everyone was overreacting with it. I mean, he looks good from one clip. Now, when people are going to get to go see him, that's another thing. So I'm interested to see what he looks like more as he gets a couple more valuable reps with the team. So, I mean, for me, Chase, I think there's room for this competition, but like Tim said, it's not, because they already have their plan at quarterback, and I think it's quite obvious that if they were going to move on from Tannehill, they would have already done it by now. So I like that they have kept Ryan here, and they want to rely on him because I think he has a lot more to prove, quite frankly. We did some quarterback
Tannehill
comp.
Does?
Yeah, I think after doing some quarterback comps last week and thinking about it over the weekend, I think it's completely warranted that he could still have a great year. Hopefully, it's a better year than last year. So, I mean, we'll see what he does. And the only reason that there would be a competition, Chase, is if Tannehill just bleeps the bed, quite frankly.
Well, I think, yes, that's a factor. But I also think the other one is if he gets hurt. And that's people say, and you know, like, okay, I hope he has a better year than he did last year. Well, he was hurt for half of it. I mean, that's a part of the problem. But, I mean, he was a 500 quarterback when you just look at his record. He threw 13 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. So that touchdown-to-interception ratio was much better than the year before, granted less pass attempts. 25, 36 yards, that's what he threw for. So I actually think before he got hurt, he was doing okay, considering with what he had, that he had no offensive line. They had traded A.J. Brown. Treylon Burks was up and down because he was hurt. So, I mean, in my mind, to that point, I think he will be better if he's healthy. And he's coming off, you know, an ankle injury, which always concerns you, especially because he is, you know, a mobile quarterback. He can move around and make plays with his legs. So you worry about that. And then he's going to be a year older. I mean, he's going to be 35. To start the season. And so that's obviously you know, something that we start looking at when a quarterback gets to that age. Not everybody's going to be Brady and play till they're 45. So that is, and I think that that's why we continue to have that type of conversation of, is this a quarterback competition or not? But to me, there is one player in particular that I want to be talking about on Wednesday, and I want to be talking about this player in a positive light. That is mine. 615-737-1025. Who is a player that you want to be discussing on Wednesday in a good way after tomorrow's OTAs with the Tennessee Titans? We'll get Nick's answers on that. We'll get your answer on that. We'll have a pair of Sounds tickets to give away, or actually a family four-pack of Sounds tickets to give away coming up later in the show. We'll also talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, get his thoughts on OTA, and then some of the sports stories from the weekend, because there was quite a bit going on. Join 102.5 The Game for our second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura and benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. It's the President's Reserve. You can play with all of us. I mean, I don't know if you really want to play golf with me after this weekend. It was pretty bad on Friday. It was pretty yikes, but I will obviously be there. I'll cheer you on. But put your team together, come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause, and, of course, have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have a chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf.
You said A.J. Brown is more explosive than Treylon Burks, but Treylon Burks is more dynamic than A.J. Brown. Is that what you said? And if so, what the hell are you talking about?
Correct. So I think if you throw a jump ball up, I think A.J. Brown has a better chance to jump up and explode over a guy and catch the ball. If you are talking about running with the football, I think Treylon Burks, who ran, I believe he was clocked at like 22 miles an hour when he was in Arkansas and ran away from the entire Alabama team. Go back to the Cincinnati game and watch how he runs away from people, even the Giants game in that first game. Burks has this, like A.J. does not have breakaway speed. Burks, for some reason, has a second gear. And I don't totally understand it because A.J. ran a 4.49 and Burks ran a 4.55. But go watch. A.J. does not have the accelerating speed at the end that Burks has. And that's where he, in my opinion, is more dynamic. We see the Titans use Burks more as a runner than the Titans used A.J. Brown as a runner in his career because he's more dynamic. But again, if I'm throwing a 50-50 ball up in the end zone, I expect A.J. to have a better chance to explode up over the DB and catch the ball.
So that was Jared versus Joe earlier this week, or last week. And basically Jared trying to make a point that Treylon Burks at times was more dynamic than A.J. Brown. And I heard Adam Vingan and Joe Rexrow talking to Corey Curtis about this today, and I think I see what Jared's trying to say or is saying, and I'm not ready to go there yet because I just think the sample size is not enough in my mind to really make that. But it also goes back to, let's just stop any type of Treylon Burks A.J. Brown comparison. I just don't think it's necessary at this point in time. Chase and Michelle, Chase and Nick Keyser in today. Michelle with a couple of days off. She'll be back on Wednesday. And our question of the day is, on Wednesday, after OTAs tomorrow, what player are we going to be discussing in a positive light? Who do we need to be discussing in a positive light? Your answer, Nick Keyser, is whom?
Ooh. So
I just alluded to mine. So
yes, you did. Well, I think I'm also going to go in light of talking about someone who can catch the ball. And I think that's going to be Chig Okonkwo.
Chig Okonkwo. Okay, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
You got to think about how he played last year. And I think before the season even started, everyone was like, who is this? And I think now that he's here, and I think he's got one season under his belt, and he knows the system, he's had one off season now, he's someone that could be a very valuable weapon for this team.
Okay, I like that. That's a good answer. Mine is Treylon Burks. I want to be talking to everybody that we talk to and hear on these shows that Treylon Burks had an amazing practice on Tuesday. Now, I understand it's not in pads and it's OTAs, and a lot can change between May and August. So But we need to be excited about a wide receiver doing something on this team, and his name needs to be Treylon Burks. Now, if it's Kyle Phillips, okay, that's okay, fine. But Treylon Burks is the first-round pick. Kyle Phillips is the fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of thought about saying Kyle Phillips, but I would rather be talking about Chig at this point because I want to see the most improvement from him. But I do think Kyle Phillips is my close favorite pick.
Okay, so it's interesting how you just worded that because that got my attention. So you feel like Chig is the one because – is it because of what we saw last year? And again, small sample size because I don't think Todd Downing knew how to use him.
No.
But when we did see him make an explosive play, it was like, whoa.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And then Kyle Phillips we didn't see because he was hurt.
Right.
So is that kind of why you're going that way?
Yeah, I think so, Chase, because when you look at the body of work that Chig was able to put together, and not only that, you know, Vrabel's really high on his blocking guys too. So I think Chig, he executed it in that one big facet for Vrabel as well. So if he brings that to the table, plus if he's in the playbook and they throw the ball to him more often, that's going to be huge for them. And I used to tell my dad, sitting just watching games, I was like, you know, I think they should throw the ball to Chig more because he could probably truck some guys over. But Kyle Phillips also, I think if we are talking about him, Chase, it's going to be special teams oriented, because if he is picking up the ball more often during these OTAs, and maybe they do a couple of practice runs with punts and kickoffs, I would have to guess. And if he's someone that's back there and he's consistently doing well, I think he could be someone that we are talking about too.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's interesting. The only reason that I would say wide receiver is just because that's the area of the most concern right now on the Titans offense, is that they essentially have Treylon Burks and then Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Kyle Phillips, who knows what he's going to be, and then that's kind of it from there, with, you know, young guys, whether it's the seventh round pick that they drafted or the undrafted guys. I know Racy McMath is a name that keeps coming up, and what, you know, he could possibly be, but I kind of feel like that it's going to be Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Chig Okonkwo will be the three most targeted on this team, and that's probably how it should be. But the question is a player that you want to be talking about on Wednesday. Justin in Greenbrier says, I think any of the wide receivers, whether it's NWI, Burks, McMath, Dowell, it doesn't matter. I want those guys to go out there and show up and show out. That is a fair statement. That's basically where I'm at. Andrew says Malik Willis. Kenny Waverly was making a statement on Levis. Last season, having to plug in a practice squad QB from the Lions was an eye-opener. The Titans knew they needed a backup quarterback. That's why they traded up for Levis. So he's wanting to see more from quarterbacks. So Glenn and Greenbrier, definitely Burks. If we go through another offseason with health issues, J-Rob will need to get fired again. We're going to bring J-Rob back just to refresh.
Oh, my gosh. We're done. The train has left the station.
I know. We are. And then Shane in the Borough, you'll appreciate this, Nick, says, Joachim Kimmel, that's who I want to be talking about on Wednesday. Go Admiral.
Oh, wow. Hey, and on Saturday, too, when Junie and I were kind of having this conversation, too, he really alluded to the fact that there is one quarterback that Burks favors. Do you know who that is?
There's one quarterback that Burks favors?
Yeah, that he likes to play with.
I don't know. Tannehill?
No, he likes to play with Willis the
really?
Most.
Really?
Yeah. So, Junie said he had someone close to him.
Probably got a lot of reps.
Yeah. I would imagine that those two guys, I mean, when he said it, it made sense because those are two guys, they came in at the same time, they're part of the same draft class, and they're trying to work through it together, and they have one season down. So, I mean, that makes sense, but I don't think there's too much tea to it other than that. But it sounds like Burks needs a consistent rhythm. Obviously, you need that with a quarterback and a wide receiver, but it feels like he is trying to make his case for, I need this guy throwing the ball to me the most because I feel like I can be at my best here.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got to get in a rhythm with Tannehill. That's what it's got to be. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some reps that he might get with Levis, just to kind of see what that looks like. But it's going to be Tannehill. And I do think for those that bring up Malik Willis, that is, I am curious of what he looks like and how he handles himself, you know, showing up, knowing that, I guess, technically second on the depth chart right now, but in all, you know, really he's third. And so, you know, what is all this work that he's been putting in the offseason, what does it look like? And, you know, how is he going to show up? But to me, it is Treylon Burks, and I believe that it's going to be Treylon Burks that we need to talk about on Wednesday in a good way. I know Jonathan Hutton was on last week, and he's brought up Treylon Burks quite a bit, and he talked about Burks' ceiling and how that could relate to the Titans' ceiling as well.
In your opinion, what is the Titans' ceiling and floor, and how much does that depend on Treylon Burks' ceiling and floor?
Well, it's the base of this offense is still run first. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're going to lean on Derrick Henry. They're going to control the football. Where Burks and Phillips and Westbrook Akine come in is they've got to stop having these three and outs. But that starts up front on the offensive line, where they protect their quarterback and they get into the second down and 13, second down and 17, third and longs. Because this wide receiving core right now, just like last year, is not going to pick up those chunk yard plays on a routine basis. They have to stay ahead of the sticks and maintain some normalcy on third down and pass or run, give them some options. And third and seven is something that Treylon Burks has to go pick up for them. He's got to be a go-to receiver. So the ceiling there would be this group, and it has to be led by Burks, needs to be able to pick up the third down that is obtainable. And last year, they were far too often into third and longs. So the ceiling for this team, they can win the AFC South.
Okay. So I thought that was an interesting question by Caroline and how she worded that, because while it's always going to – things are going to center to the quarterback, I still think you got to have a dynamic playmaker on offense. And to me, outside of Derrick Henry, and we're also, you know, I think all accepting of the fact that he's almost 30 and, you know, you need to have – he needs help. And Treylon Burks needs to be a part of that help.
Yeah, he does. And, Chase, it's really obvious to just, I think, say this, but I think we're all thinking it is – this season's success to what Caroline asked Hutton, who I know will end up probably asking something similar to him later, possibly. But I think what the success is more or less reliant on this season is how well can this offense click? And it doesn't need to be too specific right now, because I want to see what their weaknesses are first and foremost. Because when I think of a storyline going into a season, Chase, I always think about, okay, what are the areas of obviously the most improvement? And then where is the team struggling and how can they get better? Because that's what's going to be pressing to Vrabel when he is being asked these questions of, okay, well, what are you going to do to help get this team on the right page? And schematically, with Tim Kelly coming in, you obviously hope as a fan, you're saying, well, it's going to be better. Well, the whole entire argument is, can they execute it, and can these guys that just came in last year make a difference?
Right, 100%. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, a player that you want to be talking about the most on Wednesday after day one of OTAs. Now, we'll read those answers throughout the show. But coming up next, the Milwaukee Admirals advanced last night, and I'm curious of how people do feel about this with – of so many of the Predators prospects playing in these games, guys that you're likely to see here next year. I've been intrigued. We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I thought we played great. I thought the team played very strong. They pushed in the second period. Obviously, they're desperate to try not to have their season end. I thought we handled their goal well. And then even in the third, we had the 5-on-3, and you know, I thought we had some really good looks on it, and we fell asleep a little bit, and they got a goal and a shorty. I thought we responded to that well. Gutsy effort from the whole group, guys battling, blocking shots, lots of people stepping up in critical moments, and really proud of the whole group.
That was Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor last night After the Admirals' 5-2 win against the Texas Stars, they advance to the next round of the AHL Calder Cup playoffs. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser with you on this Monday. And yes, you heard it all on 94.9 The Fan and the end of the game, even on 102.5. We were able to squeeze that in after NASCAR coverage. As the Preds of tomorrow, as I like to refer to them, I mean, honestly, some of them are the Preds of right now because, you know, we saw Luke Evangelista, Igor Afanasyev, Kiefer Sherwood. I mean, they were, you know, all a part of this team towards the end of the year. But I'm curious of, you know, the guys that I think I'm the most curious about are the ones that I haven't seen at the NHL level yet, whether it's Kimmel or, you know, Askarov we saw for a game. But, you know, can he help carry this team to a Calder Cup trophy? Time will tell. But they will move on to the second round to take on the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And is this the Western Conference final?
The Western Conference final, yeah. Yes. And they are coached by one Dan Bylsma, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. So Seattle brought him in as their AHL coach. So if Hextall didn't work out at some point, I would be making the phone call down to the farm club probably. Now, not saying that they're in like any trouble. They've had a phenomenal season their first year playing. And, I mean, AHL hockey in Palm Springs, that just sounds like fun. Like, you know, I know minor league hockey is not, you know, the most exciting thing to always go watch. But I think having a team in Palm Springs and having a series go out there is pretty cool for them. And you can't say that very often. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do against that team because they've got, like, I didn't even count how many guys it is, but in the top, like, 10 for scoring, they've got, like, 8 guys. So sure. Milwaukee's going to have a tough test on offense, and Askarov has gotten better progressively as each series has gone along. He's always started the series kind of rough, but once he finds his footing, he looks pretty good. Now, last night he had that weird play where he tried to play the puck after, I think it was Nick Camino came out of the box, and that was just awkward. He tried to throw his blocker and his stick at him, and the referees debated if they were going to give him a penalty for that too.
Yeah, that was one of those that I think he has to have a learning moment.
yeah, I think he's had several of those, and I have joked with Aaron Sims, who we'll actually talk to at the top of the hour, Chase, and
yep.
I've talked to him a little bit about how maybe UC Soros can take some lessons from him, like as far as playing the puck goes. So I like the goaltending. I like the how it looks for the future. But one stat I want to share that I don't owe to my credit is one of the Preds media members that passed it along, and also Aaron tweeted this out too. But Carl Taylor is now 7-2 overall in elimination games as the Admirals head coach. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that's a good little stat for him as a coach, just building his resume and, you know, Chase, some other guys that I think deserve some more ice time next year. Because you said you want to see Joachim Kimmel. I think that would be fun.
He had a big night last night.
He really did. He scored twice. And when he winds up to take a slap shot in the left circle, it's a weapon. He looks similar to like an Ovechkin or a Matthews. I mean, he's a threat and he looks like a seasoned veteran already. Obviously, he played in the Liga this past season, and so when you're playing with grown men over there and you make the jump over here, it's significant. But for him, he's not been bashful whatsoever. I believe he's got 4 goals in the postseason so far. 2 came last night in the biggest game of the season. There's no question in my mind that he's going to help lead this team to the promised land that they've not had since 2004. It's the first time that they've reached the conference final since 06.
Yeah.
And I tweeted out a whole list of some former Nashville Predators. One of the names that just makes me laugh is Kevin Klein. He was part of that team.
In 06?
In 06, yeah. Then Scotty Upshaw was on that team.
Yep.
Jared Smithson, Jordan Tutu, Rich Peverly, Vern Fiddler, Scott Nickel was actually on that team. So,
was he?
Yeah, he was. So I don't know if he was there the whole season necessarily, but he was on that.
I don't think so. I think he had just played a little bit.
He was probably just on that team for a little bit. But just looking at some of the names, I thought that was pretty funny. Pecorine was actually still playing a little bit down there too back in 06.
Sure was.
So, but yeah, that was kind of fun just to look back at for a second. But they will have their first game on Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Yep, and we will I will announce which station it's going to be on. That's one thing as I navigate a little inside baseball, which is a phrase that Rick Merritt loves when I use, so I'll use that for him. But, you know, with us airing the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, you know, I want to try and make it all work. You may hear Admirals games on 102.5. You may hear them on 94.9. But we will get that schedule out for everyone. There's something, though, that you brought up, and I was thinking about this over the weekend a lot. And I know that all this talk about the Coyotes and where the Coyotes could move, that there have been, you know, some people that have said, well, Milwaukee needs a pro hockey team. Well, they have a pro hockey team. They have the Milwaukee Admirals. And, you know, you just used the phrase, and it's a common phrase, minor league hockey. And we say minor league baseball. And it's the entity is actually called minor league baseball. But I think that, you know, we put a negative connotation on it, and that's what we've done, that it's not true. You know, I was talking to Jeff Hem the other day, and he said that, you know, he always tries to call – or he tries to use the term AAA baseball.
Yeah, he says that a lot on his broadcast.
And it's like, you know, I like that because at the end of the day, these guys are professional too. And like half this team that you're watching in Milwaukee right now was in Nashville a month and a half ago.
14 of them played at least one game.
Right. So those are pro hockey players. And it's exciting. And, you know, I don't know the ins and outs and, you know, the full roster like I would up here, but obviously there's intrigue right now, and that's why we're airing these games, because there's intrigue with these players that a lot of these guys are going to be on this team next year, or you're going to see at some point in time. You know, it depends on what Barry Trotz does this summer. If he goes out to make some trades to get some veterans in there that – you know, okay, you could see a Luke Evangelista start the year in Milwaukee, but my guess is you'll see him again in Nashville sooner rather than later. You know, some of the fringe guys, like I put Kiefer Sherwood in that category, you know, maybe they lose their spot. But, you know, there's a difference. And those guys that are more so, you know, up and down, whereas you have the prospects like Afanasyev and Evangelista and Kimmel and Askarov that eventually will have a full-time spot on the NHL roster.
Yeah, and everybody has depth. You look at some of the teams that are still playing in the postseason, they have depth, and they're good on the rush. They're fast. They're physical. Look at the Florida Panthers are the perfect example. It really reminds me of the 2017 Nashville Predators. And, you know, it's really important, too, and just to kind of, you know, add to what you said about it being minor league hockey and the negative connotation. Well, it really shouldn't be, because you look at also, they just extended their affiliation for two more seasons, and it's coming up on 27 years.
It's the only one they've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge milestone. And so you have the 25th anniversary this year, and that's huge. You don't ever see that in sports. Like, Coachella is brand new. Now, that's because they're with the Kraken.
Yeah.
But there are so many teams that change affiliation. You know, you could see a 10-year, a 15-year or something. But the Predators, they have faith in that fan base.
Teams moving around, changing names all the time.
And they have faith in the ownership, too. So I like that they've gone back to Harris Tur, I think is how you say his last name. But, you know, he was down in the hallway last night celebrating with the entire team. Mm-hmm. So you want to see that. And I think it's a positive thing that the Admirals have gone this far, Chase.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we'll actually be joined by Aaron Sims, who's the voice of the Admirals. That's who you've been hearing on these calls. He'll join us at 10 o'clock to talk more about this. But I want to tie this in to Nashville and some of the decisions that Barry Trotz will be making in really the coming weeks as he looks to put his stamp on the Nashville Predators. We'll do that coming up next. But right now, you can you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena this Friday, May 26th, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Just text in the keyword Dave, D-A-V-E, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win. That's Dave, D-A-V-E, to the game text line, 615-737-1025. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and McCabe, Nick Kieser with you on this Monday. We'll definitely talk about the PGA Championship coming up a little bit later on, because there was a story that I think was really, really cool with that. And then obviously the who won and the storyline involved with that. But Aaron Sims is going to join us at 10. Jonathan Hutton at 10:30. Talk Titans with him. But continuing this discussion when it comes to the Admirals, and George Scoville on Twitter tweeted at both of us and said, I believe the correct term is, quote, top developmental affiliate.
Yes, I saw what I like he that. Said. Yeah, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, no, I do too. I look at it as, I think the reason that Preds fans, and I'm one of them, are so intrigued by this, and maybe you're not sitting, you know, watching it on AHL.TV or listening, you know, intently on the radio, but I think you're keeping up with it because you know that how some of these guys perform is going to affect decisions that are made up here with the big club.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I'm not paying $30 to watch it, so I would much rather listen to our friend Aaron call the game. So, but personally, I think that's the perfect way to go about it, Chase. This has been a team all season long. Now, I've not kept track of their entire season. I was keeping an eye on some of the bigger names, like we've talked about on the station. Like before Kimmel came over, we were talking about Tommy Novak at the start of the year. Yusso Parsonen had only played 10 games right before he got called up, but he was someone I was watching. I was getting on a plane when he scored his first goal, so I had to just wait to see if he did anything else by the time I landed back in Nashville. But Parsonen was fun to watch. And then obviously, I think the biggest name aside from Kimmel is obviously Askarov, who had 37 saves, I believe, last night. And Chase, they allowed 5 shots in the first period, but then he had to make, I want to say, I think it was 17 saves in the second period. So he went from not a lot of work to hell of a lot of work in the second period last night. So, but the Stars definitely looked good. Now, it would have been funny to kind of hear that both Stars would have been in the conference final had the Texas Stars won yesterday. So they are just loaded from top to bottom. So, but I think looking at the goaltenders too, like the Stars pulled their goalie after the first period last night. I mean, his name's Remy Poirier, I think is how you say it. He came in for Matthew Murray, who is not Matt Murray that played for the Maple Leafs this year, someone completely different. But Remy Poirier and Askarov were the guys that fought each other back in March, which I kind of found hysterical. So, right. Okay. But anyway,
nice little stat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Barry Trotz and, you know, I'm kind of with the majority here of when it comes to the coach. Like, okay, let's go ahead and get an answer here. I'd like to know what that's going to look like.
And, sure.
And I think that's important too, because, you know, the coach should be a part of the player evaluation part of all of this. I think it's only fair. And look, be fair to John. You know, if you're going to move on. And I can sit here and I can give you a list of reasons why you should, and I can sit here and I can give you a list of reasons why you shouldn't. And I think a lot of it depends on the direction that Barry Trotz wants to take the franchise. If you're ready to, you know, reset a little bit more than you already have, then again, there's an argument for both, you know, that you want to go ahead and put your guy in. And the same can be said for if you want to reload and use some of these draft assets that you have and go get veteran players, then you can say, well, all right, maybe let John see what John can do with that and keep it as is, or bring your guy in. But I just think dragging it out is not good for anybody. And clearly he knows more than I know, and I respect that. And he knows the plan, and that's okay. But I want to know the plan too.
Yes, like, everybody wants to know. What is it, Willie?
Willie, what's the plan?
Yes,
that's what I want to know.
Chase, but you make a really good point. And the first thing I thought of when you thought of just if you want to go in one direction and it's a young team, what's kind of funny to me is Peter Laviolette has been thrown out there for the Columbus Blue Jackets job, and that's not going to be a competitive team right now. You have Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey is there. A couple other guys are there as well. Some young, really good guys. Kent Johnson is a fun guy to watch too. I believe his dad played on one of the first Blue Jackets teams. But, you know, when you want a direction with a franchise, it's obviously it's going to be from Barry Trotz to the coach. And also, what is Scott Nichol thinking about the development process of this organization as well? Because, you know, getting to know some of these prospects personally, I would say they're all very motivated because they know who is here, who is coming in, and it's only getting them more excited for what is to come. So if they do end up moving on from someone, I would not blame them if they got someone that is a development coach, kind of like a John Hines, but does not have a proven record yet in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I would put a little money, you know, I mean, I am a betting man.
Yes, you are.
But I would say that if I had to guess, Carl Taylor is going to be, in a perfect world, on this staff mm-hmm. as an assistant next year. Now, he could get calls to be an NHL head coach. He could be the plan as the head coach. But I think one way or another, in a perfect world, they will have him on the staff this year. Because I think even if John is back, there are going to be changes to his coaching.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
And I think there's going to be they're gonna move some pieces around even when it comes to the front office structure, because mm-hmm. Barry Trotz is going to do it his way and do it differently than the way David Poyle's done it, and I think David would want that.
Yeah, I think he will want that. And I think too, now if Carl Taylor comes up as an assistant, I don't know if he would lean toward more offense or defense. Now, we don't know what the future is for all of the coaches realistically. Now, could he be a special teams guy? You know, could he be back on the back end or at the top of the bench? We don't know. But I would personally think, just guessing as an assumption, that he would probably take over the forwards maybe.
Because yeah, so many of them could be.
Right. Yeah. And he's worked with so many of those guys. And, you know, Rollo's done a good job down there with them too. Scott Ford's done a fantastic job with all of these guys. They all are very smart coaches. Mm-hmm. They've put themselves in position to be successful, which realistically, kind of like Scott Nichol, they could all end up in the NHL at any given moment.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So I'm curious of how this shakes out. You know, if the run that Milwaukee is going on is going to delay this evaluation that Trotz is doing, you know, I mean, it could be because, you know, I think – once you get to the draft, though, you got to have it figured out. You need to know who's going to be on your bench, who's going to be making the calls. And also, I think that's when you'll start to see a lot of trade movement as well with this team just after the Cup final. So if that's indeed the direction that they decide to go. So something to continue to keep an eye on. We'll discuss the games a little bit more with Aaron Sims. He's the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals. He will join us coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.